Hour number two of 3D rolling right along here in Kitchen Notes at the downtown Omni Hotel. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day 10 to 2, SEC Media Days here in our fine city. Men's side today, women tomorrow. We'll have SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey in just a bit this hour. But right now we are joined by Bryce Drew, Vanderbilt head men's basketball coach. He's at our table in Kitchen Notes. I don't know if he came for the food or for good conversation or both. Coach, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing good. Walking down here, I was just thinking how you guys got the best gig around. You get to set up shop in great restaurants like this, eat, talk on the radio, eat
it's
a little bit
bad.
More. Not a bad gig.
You get to wear a nice sweater like Willie.
I can think of worse options, yes. Good point. So we had this discussion in the first hour of the show, and we said we would table it until you got here to ask a coach. You have a really talented player, but unfortunately you've figured out he doesn't really fit what you're doing. What do you do?
Or give him the reference. Give him the reference.
Okay,
he used to play for the Rockets. The Houston Rockets now have Chris Paul, and we were talking about trying to work him into.
I get home last night from the Predators game, and I can't go to sleep. So I'm watching the end to the Rockets and the Warriors. I'm watching the fourth quarter. And my observation is Chris Paul is a square peg with the Rockets. He doesn't fit what they're doing. And I don't see James Harden changing, and I certainly don't see their coach changing what he does. So you have a talented player in Chris Paul, but my observation, my eyes, says he doesn't fit what the Rockets are doing. I know it's game one of 81 more to go.
Yep.
But what do you do as a coach? How do you handle that?
You know, I think a couple things that I would consider. First is you try not to put yourself in those situations, obviously, if that's going to happen. The next part is you try to the best you can to make it work and to make it where it's not that way. I can give you an example. My first year in the NBA, I was with Houston, and they had Charles Barkley and Hakeem Olajuwon, and the whole offense went through them. In that offseason, they signed Scottie Pippen, so now Scottie Pippen came in. And when the three of them played together, the flow was not near when only two were out on the court together. And so to answer your question, to go back, try to tweak your offense, tweak it, and then maybe do your substitutions in a way that you always have one on the floor, so at least so many minutes – you know, Chris gets to do his thing, and then obviously James is going to do his thing. So, you know, I think there's ways to get around it. But again, if it just doesn't work, then they're going to have to make a trade.
You always hear the reference, oh, they don't have enough basketballs to go around for everybody. When you hear that, that means people are referencing saying you have a lot of talent. Is that a good problem to have as a coach, or is that a bad problem?
It can go both ways. I think if your talent is in different positions and they do different things well, then I think it's obviously really, really good. If you got the same player or if you got three guys that need the ball in their hands, then it's probably not going to work as well. And so, again, I think it's fitting those pieces together. You know, obviously you look at Chris Paul, since we're using this example, you know, he's best with the ball in his hands, making decisions, making plays. James Harden is best with the ball in his hands. So somehow you got to have an offense where those two have the balls in their hands and everyone else is catching and shooting or finishing alley-oop dunks.
What did you learn playing or coaching in this conference last season?
Learned that it's a very fast league, you know, at all the positions, very fast. And a lot more jump defenses than I thought. You know,
it was faster than when Willie played.
Willie,
what are you trying to say?
You're saying the game. But I like the D-base is just cracking up over that example.
They're still playing half-court basketball.
Well, of course, he was wearing Chuck Taylor's.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did like to work the 45-second shot clock. Back
the shot clock was holding him back. It was holding him back with his speed. If it had been the 30-second clock, just think what would happen.
Different game. We would have picked up the
tempo. No one believes that. But anyway, sorry. The game is definitely about speed today, no doubt. So the game is sped up. So what else did you learn last year in the conference?
There's some junk defenses more than I thought. Out of bounds, under, just different things, matchup zones. You know, I thought there'd be more just flat out pressing and pressuring man to man. But some different looks that you saw. And then, you know, you hear that there's good players in the league, but until you see them in person, you don't realize how good, you know, everyone is. And
kind of like the show. When you sit down with us, you're like, wow, a lot more talent than I thought at this table.
And much more well-dressed than you envision, you know, than when you're listening on the air. But we have more top 100 recruits coming to our league than any other league in the country, and we have more lottery picks projected next year than the other league. So good players usually result in better basketball.
Now, how do you replace a guy like Luke? The last couple of seasons, you know, each year you've had to, not necessarily you, but the team had to replace some guys that they really counted on. This year for you, one of the biggest guys was Luke. How do you replace him?
I don't think that we can do it with one guy, so it's going to have to be a lot of pieces that come in and try to fit, you know, fill some of the stat sheets that he did for us. So we're different this year. Luke was very unique. He spaced the floor, but he also could block shots. You know, this year we have not as skilled as centers that can't step out and really make threes. So they're going to have to do it in other ways. They're going to have to make up for it with rebounding, being physical, getting up and down the court, you know, faster, getting some tip-ins here and there. And so we're going to be different at that position, but we're going to have to do it collectively, not just one person.
We're talking with Bryce Drew, Vanderbilt's head basketball coach, men's basketball coach. So what you're saying is, Coach, is that it's more of a small ball type of mentality, getting up and down the court, not having that 6'11", 7-footer that can step out and shoot threes or go in the middle and dominate.
And so our centers, we're going to really move them around a lot this year, you'll see. You know, they're going to be flying down the court and flying side to side and trying to get guys open. And so it'll be a little bit different role also for our players because they're used to having a lot of space and having a, you know, a five-man that could really stretch the defense and shoot three. So it'll be different for them because their angles are going to be a little bit different and the paint might at times be a little more crowded because there is going to be, you know, someone down there.
Now, how has Matthew Fisher Davis come back? Obviously what happened last year in the tournament, the foul at the end of the game. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he felt horrible. Bad, you know, worse than anybody else could possibly feel. I mean, even the fans. How has he come back this season?
You know, a play like that, just in my history being in athletics, you know, it can go, you know, one of two ways. It can, you know, really sink you that you never recover from, or it can make you a lot better. And from what I've seen in the spring and in the summer, so far in the fall, it's really motivated him to want to work harder and want to be a better player. So as a coach, you know, we're really excited about the potential of the year that he could have, but really proud of him that he's chosen the motivation side and used it as great motivation.
Vanderbilt basketball coach Bryce Drew is with us now. Coach, you had a chance to take your team and play some games. Before we talk about what happened when you were there at developing, I know you were into the Virgin Islands, and it has to hit you guys hard when you were seeing that hurricane go through there. I can only imagine what that was like. The area that you were there, I mean, how are they doing down there?
Yeah, extremely sad. People were tremendous down there, really friendly. We got to see a lot of the island. We did tours at history, you know, all types of things down there. And then pretty much to look at it on TV and not even recognize it and hear some of the stories that were coming out of there, you know, we're one of the last groups to probably see it how it was, you know, for a long, long time. And great people down there, and just our hearts are with them.
Yeah, it's hard when you get to know people down there, and then it probably connects you a lot more when you're seeing all those pictures on TV. Tim Duncan, maybe the most famous basketball player from the Virgin Islands. I know he's doing a lot to try to get some help down there.
And you know, people have been sensational. You know, we're going to do some stuff to help with hopefully a charity game. You know, hopefully we're working on, and we can send some of that relief down to help people out.
Well, you were talking about how you have to evolve a little bit without a unique player like Luke Kornet. It had to help that you could get the guys together in the offseason and go play some games.
It did. You know, we got to see some stuff that we liked, some stuff we could build off of. And then we got to see some stuff that we didn't think we did very well, and we kind of just scratched it and left it in the Virgin Islands down there when we got back on the plane. And so it gave us a chance to be able to experiment a little bit. We played a lot of guys. So down there we played 12 guys nearly every game. And so we had a lot of different combinations, so it was hard to get, you know, a great feel for each other. And, you know, that'll be one of, you know, I think our struggles at the beginning of the season is finding which, you know, 8 or 9 guys or 10 we're going to play because we feel good with everybody that they can help us out on the court.
You got a vast array of guys. You've got a couple guys sitting out that'll be eligible later. You're signing guys that you've been recruiting personally. But you also have some veteran guys.
Yep.
You have a pretty much a senior-laden team, and I know you're going to lean on those guys pretty heavily.
Definitely, just naturally. They've been through it. They know it. They get it. They understand it, and they feel very comfortable, you know, in those roles, having more on their shoulders. So we'll definitely look, you know, for Riley Chance, Jeff Roberson, and Matthew Fisher-Davis to take a bigger even responsibility this year. And as the year progresses, hopefully our younger guys will be able to keep growing and start playing a lot more mature for freshmen.
What was it like coaching Riley LeChance? He's such a unique player, and I think a lot of the fans that watch him, when you first see him, you're like, wait, can this guy? How does this guy get it done in this league? But when you watch him game in and game out, he's a special player.
You know, he has to be a step ahead on things because with his size and with his length, you know, he's not as gifted as other athletes he plays against, and he does a great job at watching film, a great job at preparing. So when he gets in those situations, he'll take what the defense gives him, and he has a great feel for making plays. And you got to credit him for the hard work he puts in because he's in before practice, after practice, you know, trying to master his craft.
And another guy that I think is pretty unique is Jeff Roberson because he's not – I mean, he's sort of undersized for the position he plays, but he adapts his game. He can do so many different things out there.
He does, and he's had a great preseason so far. You know, we wish he was just a couple inches taller because we could play him at some five. But he does so much for us, and right now he's our best scorer in the post, and you know we feel like you need to have a post presence at some point in the game, so you know we might be using him down in the post a little bit to hopefully be able to get us some baskets.
And the Brady Bunch, they hang, you know, they would hang from the monkey bars. It didn't work, but you know, maybe you could try something, throw an inch or two. Have the players changed today as opposed to when you played? How different is today's athlete, or is it?
Boy, you know, I was really thinking about this with Gordon Hayward. I don't know if you guys
saw. D-Mace was there.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, you were there.
Horrible. Oh, my. It was nasty. Yeah.
So I've known Gordon since he was, you know, at Butler, and we played against him. And it seems I don't remember those injuries happening that much a long time ago. And I don't know if because the athletes are so explosive now and the game's much faster. You know, you had Paul George a couple years ago. You had the Louisville player a few years before
Kevin
that.
Ware. Yeah,
Kevin Ware. I mean, I just don't remember those happening. And now you're seeing it, you know, those injuries happen. And to answer your story, I think the game's just faster. You know, I think players are more athletic. They're stronger. They're quicker. They're more explosive. And you know, I don't know if that's resulting in more injuries or what, but it's definitely a faster game than you know when I was playing.
Do you? And this is just I'm just throwing this out. Some crazy. I was just thinking of as you were going over how bigger, stronger, faster these players are getting, and then you look at the court and you say, well, the court really is not adapted. Yeah. To the way these athletes are nowadays, you look at the, you know, the corners of the 3-point line.
Yeah.
They're so short that these guys get on at that corner, and they almost got to watch where they're stepping. Should they make the courts a little bit wider just because of the athlete nowadays?
You know, it's a great point, and I can tell you from my experience when I was in college and I went to the NBA. The college game was a lot more physical, I thought, and a lot more crowded. In the NBA, there's just more space. You could run through the lane. You could do different things because it's spread out more. And so I know we've talked about getting the lane a little bit bigger. If you did, it definitely would open up, I think, a little bit, you know, for driving and more penetrating. When you do that, though, I think the 3-point line is the ultimate spacer because that's where people spot up. And the deeper you spot, the more it spaces the floor.
What goes through your mind as we wrap this up whenever you see some of the stories that have come out here lately? College basketball, not in a great light, but obviously people you've dealt with, you've been in all these circles for a long time, and you hear this stuff come out, kind of what's going on right now, FBI involved. What do you think whenever you've seen this?
You know, it's really unfortunate, you know, all this stuff has come out. And, you know, being in the profession, you know, it saddens you because – again, you want your profession to be thought of in a good light by everybody. As a basketball fan, you know, it makes me sad because I grew up, you know, loving. I love college basketball. But knowing the people that are in the business, knowing the people that are around the business, you know, I truly feel that our sport will be stronger than ever coming out of this. And I think, you know, the people will rise and help make it even better.
Could be better moving forward.
Yeah. No doubt.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks for stopping by. Always good to talk to you.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks.
When's everything kick off?
We're going to kick off November, I believe it's 9th, 10th. We got Austin Peay.
This is the third week in October. So it's just around the corner.
It's coming quick, really quickly.
Good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Bryce Drew, Vanderbilt head men's basketball coach. We appreciate him stopping by the table. When we come back, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will stop by. You're listening to 3D 102.5 The Game.